Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being a part of our service this morning. God is so good. I always love it when we all get together and fellowship. There's just something special about it. The highlight of my week is this opportunity to be able to stand up here and share God's word. And I thank God for a church that loves the word. And we just had a great time yesterday fellowshipping, and it's just a good time to be together. And I thank God for what he's given us here, and I praise him for it. I want to try to finish the series that we started in 1 Kings. If you'll turn there with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. We've been dealing with the nature of faith, and certainly it's something that God has really been teaching me a lot about, and I don't think we'll ever get to the point that we know it all or understand it all. It's a journey that we live in and experience his presence every day and learn more about ourselves. And so we were beginning with the story of Elijah when he was praying for rain, or they had been without rain for 3.5 years, and now God has led him and said he's going to lift that and there's going to come rain. So we've been studying about that, and the first point that we were dealing with last time is that it seems invisible. The faith seems invisible. Faith starts with nothing. And that's a principle that we need to apply to our life and understand that just because we don't see it doesn't mean God didn't speak it. Just because we don't see it, it's just like yesterday. We touched a lot of lives yesterday, and I'm so proud of all of our people and everyone that had a part in it. But a lot of lives were touched, and this morning we don't see any new people, but it doesn't mean that their lives weren't touched. So a lot of times we get confused and we get bewildered by what we see. And God never said anything about what we see. It's by faith, it's what we believe in our heart. And so I'm not going to take time to read all the scripture again today, but in your study, do that, chapter 18. But today I want to focus on the second point. I got 2 points I want to cover today, and then we'll be done with this series. But the second point is insignificant. The second stage, the first stage seems invisible. There's nothing there. The servant had gone back six times and hadn't seen anything. That's where we are a lot of times in our lives. We're praying, we're believing, and we go home, we go through our routine, we go through everything, and there's nothing changed. But I want you to understand the nature of faith is that God is a God of his word. Amen? Amen. And that's the part we got to believe. And so let me show you this verse here, verse 44, chapter 18, verse 44. Now the servant had gone back and forth and said, there's nothing. Now verse 44 says, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud. Key word, little. There ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. So it had to be pretty small. And he said, go up unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, and rain stop thee not. So the first point we talked about is that it seems to be nothing. Faith seems to be nothing. But the second point was that the seventh time he went, it wasn't nothing anymore. It was something, but it wasn't much. Think about that now. So the second point I want to talk about is that the nature of faith, number two, seems to be insignificant. It's not nothing anymore, but it's not much. Just a few loaves of bread and a few fish, not nothing, but it's not much. When God told him to take up a stick and throw it on the water and split the sea, it won't nothing, but it won't much. I want to tell you this, and I feel his anointing here this morning. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. You're going and you're believing and you're testing and you're praying and you're doing everything, And it just don't seem to be a lot. But I want to tell you, God operates when there's nothing there, because nothing is impossible with God. The nature of faith starts with nothing, but it moves on the realm of God to the point that it will become something. Now, he's gone to this ocean six times, hadn't seen anything. Now he sees coming out of the ocean, and I want you to get this, out of nothing, God makes something. In God's eyes, there's never nothing. The enemy tells us it's nothing. Nothing is changing. Nothing. But listen, in God's eyes, there's never nothing, because out of nothing, God can make something. Amen? That's where faith. God, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. I don't hear anything. Nothing is changing. But God, I know that you don't need anything to make something. So out of nothing, there's coming something. Amen. One day God created this world. Beautiful every day. He created something else. It was beautiful. And one day out of nothing, he kneels down and forms man out of nothing and breathes into nothing, and nothing becomes something. Glory to God. Right now, what you and I are going through in life, it don't seem like nothing's changing. It doesn't seem like, if anything else, here's what the devil really likes. If anything, it's getting worse. But you got to understand, sometimes it may be the cloud of the size of a man's hand, but I want to tell you, the enemy tells you that the second stage of faith is insignificance. It's not much, it's insignificant. What is a little size of a man's hand cloud got to do with a 3.5 year drought? Man, we need some major rain. We need some major rain. And you're talking about the size of a hand. Let me tell you what the size of a hand is sometimes. It's that determination inside of your spirit that says, you know, everything tells me to give up, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep moving forward. Everything in me tells me to go the other way, but I'm not going the other way till God tells me to go the other way. Amen. That's where we're at. We're in a day now of perseverance. This is a day that the just shall. That word shall is a very powerful word. In other words, when you break it down, it says that's the only way you're going to operate is by faith. The only way you're going to operate is by staring at nothing every day and believing God is going to do what He said He's going to do. I'm going to say this to you. God has significantly made every detail in your being. He knows what we need, even when we don't know what we need. Have you ever been there? You don't even know what you need. And the enemy will say, it's insignificant. You go in and things are a little bit better. It's insignificant. That's not what you need. It's just a little bit. It's not enough. It's just a little bit. It's not enough. It's just a little bit. It's not enough. But it is enough when you give it to God, because little is much when God gets a hold of it. He even said the faith the size of a mustard seed. The mustard seed is that little bit of that hand. Small things. I want you to put this in your spirit, write it down or whatever. But small things matter to God. When you're going through things, all hell's coming against you. It's telling you not to pray. It's telling you not to read your Bible. It's telling you not to go to church. It's telling you to give up, to give up, to give up. Little things like going to your Bible anyway and opening it up. Even if you don't read it, you open it up. Little things like where you used to have a prayer time, but you've been going through so much in your life, you just feel like giving up, but you still breathe a prayer going down the road. Lord, help me. Let me tell you something. When you give God just a little bit, man, what can He do with that? You remember when Elijah, the prophet, went to the widow's house and she said, "What do you have? We don't have anything. Just a little bit of oil." You remember that? "We just got a little, just nothing. We don't have nothing. What we have is insignificant." God said, "I'll take your insignificance, because it's the insignificant part that I become God, and when the impossible is when I become possible, and I can turn things around. It will never change. It's just too big. It's just nothing is too big for God, and you just keep doing the little thing." Attention to small things. Now, here's our problem sometimes. I know it is in my life. I would have probably been the one that had walked to that ocean the seventh time and didn't see the little hand, because I'm looking for the big stuff. I wouldn't have seen the little hand, but the guy said, he was probably so tired, he said, "I got to find something." So he saw the little hand. You know, have you ever been under so much, and here's a word I think we can all identify with, overwhelmed? Have you ever been so overwhelmed that you just feel like one more straw on the camel's back is going to break it? And God says, don't give up the little things. If it's just a simple prayer, say, "Lord, I don't feel nothing. I don't know nothing. I'm hurting real, real bad. And I don't even know if you're listening, but God, help me." Do you think the thief on the cross knows anything about little things? He was hanging there. He was dying. He was on his way to hell. And he looks over there to God and says, "Remember me." That's insignificant. That's just a small thing. That's just a few words, not even a whole sentence. But God looks back at him and says, "Today, today." You want to know why? Because we serve a today God. And when you don't give up, even though everything in you wants to give up, you say, "God, I don't see anything." And you know what I've learned a lot of times? The success of our life is, it's our attitude. Because that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to give up on you. He wants you to give up on you. It's just insignificant. But with God, great things come through insignificance. Amen. I really want you to get that point, because sometimes in our life, we don't see the great big things yet. Because I'm believing God for some great big things here. And you know what? There's some Sundays, you know, we got a great crowd here this morning. I thank God for who we got here today. You know how it is. Life is like it is. Some days it's good, some days it's not. But I'm going to tell you what, when you have that desire that I'm not going to give up. Let me tell you something. It's easy to give up. There was something in our locker room when we were playing sports, and I looked at it a lot of times. It said, "Winners never quit, and quitters never win." And boy, I tell you, as a young boy, teenager coming up, there were days you were tired, you didn't want to practice, you didn't want to do anything. You just wanted to quit. And I'd look up there and I'd see that. And I remember in my younger days, I worked at a shoe store, family shoe store down the road. And last time I checked, which was a long time ago, I took a shoe box one day, took the top of it, and wrote Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ." And God Bedford, I don't even know if he's still alive or not. Anybody know about family shoe store? They got every kind of shoe in the world. This is a commercial. If you need a shoe, that's where to go. But anyhow, I nailed it up there, and there were days when you're going through things in life, you look at that, and he showed me. One day I went back years later. He said, "Come here, I want to show you something." That thing was still on the wall. It was ragged. It was torn. But you know what? You can do all things through Christ. And that through Christ is where we live. That through Christ is when you don't feel nothing. That through Christ is when you want to give up. That through Christ, it's where you just say, "There's no reason I'm even doing this. It's not going to work." But that through Christ means that if you not give up, He'll help you get through it. Amen. Do you imagine Joseph ever felt down and discouraged and felt like the world was coming in on him? Do you ever feel like he did? Sure he did. Paul, I know he felt there were times when he was being stoned to death and he was hurt in his body and, you know, he's shipwrecked. All there was had to be times. But he said, God, I'm not finished. It's insignificant. It's not much. It's not nothing anymore. But it's not much. Here's the last thing. And this is where this is what I really want you to get. The third phase of faith is intimidation. Boy, this is. You got to understand, and I want to get this to you real quick. Elijah had stood and called among Baal's prophets fire down and consumed the sacrifice. Elijah had stood there and watched it rain. As you read in this story here, he sent Ahab on to the ocean ahead of the rain, or as the rain began, and he outran the chariot. It's written there in the Word. So he knows the supernatural. He knows what God can do. He's seen it. But a third stage of faith is always intimidation. And what does that mean? For 3.5 years, there's been people that died. There's been drought. There's been despair. But you know what Elijah was? He survived. Do you know what every one of us are here this morning? If every one of us has got a history, every one of us has got a story, but we're here this morning in church serving God because we are called survivors. Look at the woman beside him and say, I'm a survivor. But the enemy says, I can't stop God from making it rain, but I can stop you from receiving it. Now let that sink in just a minute. I wrote that down so I wouldn't forget. The enemy says, I can't stop God from making it rain, but I can sure make you not believe it, that it's going to come. And you know what Elijah said? Let's get to running. Let's get up. Let's run. So they went to running. But in chapter 19, I'm not going to take time to read it for you, but it's in chapter 19, verse 2, that whole chapter 19. What happens was Jezebel sends a message to Elijah and says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill you. Jezebel knows, and I want you to get this right here. Here's a man of God. Here's what the enemy tells you. You're not going to make it. You are not going to make it. I'm going to see that you don't make it. He don't have that authority. He don't have that right. Who is Jezebel telling this man of God who stood 3.5 years ago and said, no more rain, and it didn't rain. Now, the same man of God says it's going to rain, and it starts raining. If God be for you, who in the world has the audacity to stand against you? Because they're not going to win. Now, the enemy knows that. He don't want you to know that. So what does he do? That third phase is intimidation. Now we all get intimidated. I do. Here's the part I want you to get. Jezebel knows she can't kill Elijah. But she will intimidate him, get this part, to contain him. Now that word contain is powerful. Because that is the through Christ part I was talking about a while ago. That's that vulnerable stage that we get in sometime, and we, you know, it's invisible and it doesn't seem like much. And now I'm dealing with intimidation. I just don't know if it's really going to happen or not. Am I a fool to even believe? See, that's where, see, the enemy can't stop God from blessing you, but he can try to contain you from receiving the blessing. Does that make sense? Elijah was a survivor. So she says, I can't kill him. Because listen, if she could have killed him, she'd done kill him. The enemy can't kill you because if he could, he already would. I know I wouldn't be here today if it was up to him. But guess what? It's not up to him. You are a child of God. You are armed and dangerous. Look at the one side and say, I'm armed and dangerous. And look at the other and say, I knew that all along. I knew you were like that all along. Some of y'all scared to say that. So Elijah's running from the same rain he prayed for. Some people are so used to surviving, you got to get this, that they'd rather live in famine than live in the blessing. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's better to sit down and deal with the hurt, say, I'm just hurt, I'm just going to learn to survive, than to walk out of that junk and to be blessed. He's running from the same rain he prayed for. Now I'm telling you, God's speaking in this message, so I want you to get it. God's going to deal with Jezebel. How many of you know he does do that? God's saying to us today at Northview, here's the word of God. Run toward the rain. That's a word from God. Y'all know I don't claim to be a prophet or anything like that, but I do want to give you what God tells me to give you. And what God's telling me to give you is you got to learn to run toward the rain, because it's raining now. And God is saying, are you ready? Are you ready for rain? Jezebel sent word, I'm going to kill you. She don't have the power and authority to do it. She can't even do it, but she wants to contain it. Now, where are you at with God right now? The enemy wants to contain you, stop you, or control you. How many of you know control is powerful? Control. Listen, this is something that I'm having to learn. God, I'm preaching something, y'all, that I've been living for the last several months, because I don't know all about this stuff. I'm learning like you are. But I do know that there's an enemy that wants to control you by containing you. You're not going to get no further. It ain't going to get no better. He's a liar. That's not a good word to use, but you can use it against him. He's a liar and the father of lies. He's not going to stop you. He's not going to stunt your growth. He's not going to take anything from you. God's going to supply all your needs. What does he say? According to his riches in glory. Amen. What does containment mean? It means you sit in a box. And you get used to living in the box. And that's your life. God has created you to be creative. God has created you with wonderful blessings. And there's more in you. I want to speak to every one of you this morning, face to face. There's more in you. God's got more in you. Yeah, but I heard what Jezebel said. God's got more in you. Yeah, but you don't understand the insignificant. There's not a whole lot going on. But God's got more in you. You don't understand. I don't see nothing. It's invisible. But God's got more in you. And somebody needs what you got. Yesterday, my heart was just running over. People just flocking in and out of here. Don't tell me they don't know about Northview Church. People know about Northview Church. And it's more than a broke toaster or whatever. That was the Holy Spirit of God was touching lives yesterday. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. And there's an enemy that said, well, you know, it's going to be this and it's going to be that. God told Elijah, what are you doing? What do you mean? What are you doing? I want you to understand, you're not the only one going through something. There are thousands that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And you're not going to bow your knee to Baal. Get up from where you are. You got a job to do. Amen? Every one of us has got a job to do. And if nothing else, to impact somebody's life, not to give up. I want to close right now with this message. And I'm going to tell you, we're in a drought. America's in a drought. And God, I thought about it. God so wasn't so much calling Elijah out of the physical drought as he was the drought that was in him. Every time you attempt to be something for God or do something for God, there's coming intimidation. I don't care what way it's going to come, in all different ways, but it's going to come. But don't you give up. What was that famous scripture in the Bible that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve Him when it hurts. We're going to serve Him when we don't believe. We're going to serve Him when our faith is low. Aren't you glad? I'm trying to stop y'all, but I'm just full this morning. Aren't you glad we serve a God that loves us, and every time my love isn't where it ought to be, He don't just throw me away? God loves broken things. People throw broken things away, but God takes brokenness and puts it back together. As a matter of fact, when I look back at my life, God never uses me till I'm broken. And then when I'm broken, He can put it back together. God's got a plan for Northview. And when I say Northview, guess what? That's not this building. Saturday night, we could have a country music sing in here. So the building isn't what makes it. You're what makes it. It's a beautiful building. I love it. I love to come in here a lot of times by myself and just sit down and listen to God. It's beautiful. But it's even more beautiful when you're here. And you're filling your place. And you're saying, you know, I don't feel like going to church today. I think I'm going to stay home. I just don't feel like it. But you know what you do? You know what little faith is? You know what little as much when God is in it? You know what through Christ is? It's when you come anyway. It's when you get up, you're taking a shower, you're putting your clothes on, and you don't even know why you're doing all this because you'd rather just stay home. But you do it anyway. And you want to show Jezebel. You want to show the enemy. You want to show everybody. I'm running toward the rain. I'm not running from the rain. Because I'm going to tell you, in these last days, I need the rain of God on my life. I need His anointing. I need His presence. I need Him more than I've ever needed. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And we're going to have a closing prayer. I want you to take the hand of the one beside of you. And our closing prayer is this: Lord, I need you now more than ever. Lord, our prayer this morning is we need you now more than ever. And Lord, help us to run toward the rain and not from the rain. Help us, Lord, to believe you, Lord, even when it's hard. And we ask you, Lord, to give us strength on the inside. Give us strength in our hearts. Give us strength in our innermost being, Lord. When everything in us wants to sit down and quit, God, help us not to quit. Because it's not time. It's not time until we hear that trumpet sound and then you come and take us away. But until then, Lord, we got something to do. Lord, I pray that you will energize those that are tired and weary and heavy laden. And God, for those that are overwhelmed this morning, we ask you that the power of the Holy Spirit would come into their lives as never before. May they feel that presence, that peace that passes all understanding. God, I thank you for this story. I thank you, Lord, for faith. And God, I certainly don't know all that I need to know about it. But I know this. I know that you're God. And I know that you're going to move, even how insignificant it might seem. You're going to take care of it. Lord, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And we're going to believe you to do the rest of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.